In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the feast of the seven joys of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this is a great feast in the Franciscan order. This feast was given to us by the popes, but it was approved from an apparition, if you will, of a young novice, a Franciscan novice, who was in the habit of weaving a crown of flowers to place on a statue of the Blessed Mother every day. When he entered the Franciscan order as a novice, he saw that this is going to be impossible for him to continue this tradition, this devotion that he has established of weaving these flowers and crowning an image of the Blessed Mother. And he is very frustrated because he cannot accomplish this as a Franciscan. And so the devil is tempting him to leave the Franciscan order. And this is when the Blessed Mother appeared to him and told him that she's not really interested in the bouquet of flowers. She's interested in something much better that he can give her and that will not force him to leave the Franciscan order. And that is to weave a crown of Paters and Aves, Our Fathers and Hail Marys. And while doing so, she wishes him to contemplate the seven joys of her life, specifically the Annunciation, the Visitation, the birth of our Lord, the visit of the Magi or the Epiphany, the finding in the temple, the resurrection, and her assumption and coronation into heaven. And then, with those 70 Hail Marys, she adds two more in honor of the 72 years that she lived here on earth. And this tradition caught hold of the Franciscan order. It spread throughout the world until the Pope have established this feast for the entire church. But this rosary, this seven-crown rosary of the Franciscan order, has a plenary indulgence attached to it. And every Franciscan who says this rosary can gain a plenary indulgence. And those who participate with the Franciscans in saying this crown rosary can gain this plenary indulgence. And we should take advantage of this, but I would like to point out that the Blessed Mother is more interested in the prayers that come from our hearts and minds than she is interested in the works of our hands. She's not interested in the flowers that we pick and weave into a crown of thorns and adore her statue. She is more interested in the crown that we weave from our thoughts and coming forth from the love within our hearts. Which reminds me, I have to put a little plug in for growing in holiness. If you look on your bulletin this morning, there is a little QR code there. And if those who have the technology, if you don't have the technology, don't worry about it. Some kid can show you how. You can scan the little QR code and it will take you to a video explaining the seven joys of the Blessed Mother. And I hope that many of you will take advantage of that and show this to your children, allow them to view it, and to promote a devotion to the Blessed Mother. I saw on the announcement board that, what is it, September 10th, we're going to be beginning catechism classes again, and I encourage not only the children to become involved, but the parents. There is a lot that we can discover. And of course, I say that because at the end of each one of the Growing in Holiness episode, you hear the words repeated over and over again. The more you know, the more you can grow, what is it, in faith and the love of God. And it is important that we learn to love God. Too often, I think we get wrapped up in the idea that we have to do this, we have to do that, and it is all material things. Our prayers become robotic. We have to say these words, and we have to repeat these words so many times, and we have to keep track of all of this. And we have to make sure that we genuflect well, that we make the sign of the cross correctly, and we have all these external things that we pay so much attention to, when there is something much more important. Are we growing in the love of God? Are we growing in the knowledge, the understanding of God? The more you know, the more you can love. The more you can grow. And it is important that we encourage this pursuit of knowledge. Not knowledge so much for the world, but knowledge for the love of God. And I can extend that saying really to all of your schoolwork, whatever it is you have to study, whatever it is you have to learn. I hear the young people. I was there. I was young once, believe it or not. Why do we have to learn this? I will never use this. This is useless. And I can tell you, when I was in high school, my teachers encouraged me very strongly to take typing class. And I thought, this is useless. I am never going to use typing. And I am very grateful that they forced me to take at least one course in typing, because I use it every day, several times a day. And it is a very useful thing to know. But as a young man, okay, I'll do it because I'm being pressured to do it. But it is useful to me in serving God. But everything, all knowledge, we are studying, we are learning about God's creation. You want to learn about history. You are learning about what God has done through mankind in the world around you. You study science. You are discovering the things that God created, why he created them, what good they are for us, how we can use them. It's not just a world out there that is devoid of a creator. What we are studying, what we are discovering is God. The manifestation of God in his creation around us. So the pursuit of knowledge is the pursuit of growing in the understanding of God, of the love of God. The more you know, the more you can love, the more you can grow in holiness and grace. And so I think it is well for us to remember this as we start our school's lessons, as we start our catechism lessons. It doesn't have to be boring. There is so much there for us. Online, I know there's a lot of bad things online, but we can put good things online. And we can do good things with the things God has given us. We don't have to do evil. But as I pointed out to children during our summer camp, our summer retreat, prayer has to come from the heart, from the mind. It has to come from that little inside voice, or interior voice, excuse me. Remember, we made the distinction between the outside voice, the inside voice, and then there's the interior voice. That voice that we speak to God, that only God can hear. For those in the religious life, we talk about meditation, silent prayer, contemplation. But that's really what it is. We are speaking to God in the quiet of our hearts. And this is what God wants. He doesn't need our lips to move and voice to make sounds. That's for our benefit, not his. He knows what's going on in our hearts and minds. And that is what we need to pay attention to. The external things, yes, they're important, but they're not all that important. The young novice, Franciscan novice, who weaved a crown of flowers for the Blessed Mother every day. That was important, but the Blessed Mother taught him something that was more important. The gifts that come from our hearts, are much more important than the gifts we can make with our hands. Our thoughts, our love, this is what is important. This is what we must pursue. And I think this is a beautiful opportunity, this feast of the seven joys of the Blessed Mother. We see this love which cannot be expressed. We use, as in the Canticle of Canticles, the things of this world to express a love that is inexpressible, a love for God that elevates far above the love, the affections that we see in the world around us. And I think we see this even more perfectly in the Gospel, where St. Luke records for us the apparition of the angel Gabriel to the Blessed Mother. He explains to her that God wants her to be the Mother of God. He explains to her how this is going to happen. The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. The Holy that is to be born of you will be called the Son of God. He's going to inherit the kingdom of his father David, and his kingdom will have no end. And this is what God is asking of the Blessed Mother. And as you know, one of my favorite parts of the entire Bible are these last words that have been recorded for us in today's Gospel reading. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Whatever I do, whatever I say, wherever I go, that's not what is important. What is important is my will. I give my will to God. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. Whatever you say, Lord, I'm with you. And of course, you can't have that without going back to the Old Testament in Job and repeating his famous words, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter whether God gives me riches or he makes me as poor as dirt. It doesn't matter whether I'm healthy or whether I'm sick and covered with sores and sitting on a dung heap. It doesn't matter. These external things are not what is important. What is important is that disposition of our hearts and minds, that prayer that is inside. Do I love God? Am I okay if God nails me to the cross with him? Will I be okay with that and not fall into despair? When I'm in excruciating pain, will I still love God? Will I still love God if he makes me rich and famous and gives me all the pleasures of this world? Will I still love God? Or will I forget about God? That is the question we need to ask. And hopefully, we can learn from Job to answer as Job did. In the times of success, worldly success, to say, the Lord gave this to me, and remain humble. I only have this for a time. And thank God for the gifts that he has given us. Can we remain humble with Job in success? Can we remain faithful with Job in misery and suffering and agony and deprivation? When the whole world turns against us, can we remain faithful to God? Can we love him and still say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When we're faced with obstacles that seem impossible, we don't know how God is going to get us through. Can we trust him with our lives and say with the Blessed Mother, be it done unto me according to thy word. It's all good. I accept whatever you send me. I give myself entirely to your hands. I used to mention to the young people preparing them for matrimony, I don't know how you can do it. How can you trust another person with your life? You're vowing to put your entire life in their hands. The husband gives himself to the wife gives herself to the husband. That requires a lot of faith in your fellow man. My experience is most people are not that trustworthy. You probably have a hard time finding somebody you trust to take care of your dog. But yet you're going to trust another person to take care of your life. But I realize that God did not call me to the married state. But we are called to put our life exactly in the hands of God. I say there is no one better. There is no one more trustworthy than God. If God asks something difficult of us, it's for our own good. Everything works for the good of those who love God. We should have no hesitation in putting our trust in God, putting our life in God's hands. He's our creator. He only wants what's best for us. He wants to get us to heaven, and he will get us to heaven if we don't get in his way. If we just say with Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then go from there to the Blessed Mother and say, here I am, Lord. I'm your handmaid. I'm your creature. I'm your servant. Do with me whatever you will. Whatever you think is right, whatever you think is good, whatever you think is best, Lord, go ahead. I'm all in. I trust you. I love you. This is what the Blessed Mother is teaching us. Nothing else really matters. Whether you're rich or poor, healthy or sick, male or female, none of that really matters. The only thing that is important is whether you love God. And I really like St. Paul where he tells us, it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you do it for the love of God. You want to eat? Great. Eat for the love of God. You need to fast? Then great. Fast for the love of God. You want to work? Work for the love of God. You want to play? Play for the love of God. Whatever you do, do it for the love of God. Do all things for the love of God. And so you see, the worldly things, our worldly activities, our bodily activities are really indifferent. It doesn't matter. It's not that big a deal. What is important is what is in our hearts and our minds. What do we love? What do we desire? Are we growing in the love of God? Are we growing in the knowledge of God? Are we growing in the faith? Or are we losing it? Are we confusing the faith with mechanical prayers, mechanical deeds? Is our faith wrapped up in weaving this little bouquet of roses to put on the image of the Blessed Mother? And slowly dying? Or is our faith enkindled in our hearts and our minds and kept aglow there, growing as we see God in the world around us, as we see his hands and we discover him in all of his creation? This feast of the seven joys of the Blessed Mother, let us learn to pray. Let us learn to seek understanding, knowledge of God, wisdom of God. Not externally. Our goal in catechism is not to get to the end of the book, is not to be able to rattle off so many prayers, but our goal is to grow in the knowledge of God, grow in the love of God, grow in our faith. That is what is important. How far we go is really up to us. We can continually grow in the knowledge of God, in the love of God, and in our holy faith. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.